to this beautiful worship service as we get an opportunity to praise God and celebrate this truly special night in the life of the church. A few announcements before we get started. Next Sunday, please don't forget, we will have our Love Feast anniversary service. So if you enjoyed your Love Feast tonight, come back. We got another one in 5 days for you, ready to go. We'll also select our watchwords for the year, and that is also our ugly sweater Christmas, so an opportunity to celebrate our joyous season. We'll also have a combined Sunday school class at 9:15, so plenty of opportunities to learn, to grow, and to celebrate this Christmas season. Please don't forget, after the worship service, there'll be a couple special opportunities to support our mission trip to Milwaukee if you're feeling in the giving season. Mr. Nick Menapace, would you wave your hand for a second? Nick is going to be selling dollar chocolate bars after the worship service. He's one of the best salesmen in our congregation. And that money is going to support our mission team that we're sending to Milwaukee. So if you have the opportunity to support that mission trip, find Nick after the worship service. He'll be glad to show your support. And we'll also have a few select Moravian cutting boards available. Those just came out. We're very excited about them. A lot of people have been interested in them. Unfortunately, we sold quite a few of a lot of the different varieties. So our selections are limited, but if you see any you like, feel free to grab one. They are a great Christmas gift. If you still have that one last thing you got to get, that would be perfect for that. Please get your year-end reports in as soon as possible if you are representing any organizations within the church. Ushers and greeter sign-ups are available in the narthex. Our church council, please don't forget, will be Sunday, January 19th, following worship. That will be a cover dish opportunity. And then also, if you pay special attention in your bulletin at this green insert, it will tell you who all of our poinsettias have been dedicated to tonight, and it will give you information on all of our special music tonight. So take a few moments to reflect on that and give thanks to the many people who gave in honor of family members and loved ones this Christmas season. Does anybody else have any other announcements they'd like to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Be seated as we prepare our hearts for our prelude and for the opportunity to worship. You may be seated. Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship. The people in darkness have seen a great light.
Christ has led us out of the darkness.
Let us welcome this holy day with joy and praise.
What a light of Christ pour out of our hearts for all the world to see.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, verses 1 to 3. Our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we celebrate the joys, the blessings, and the concerns with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for continued prayer for Eric McGovern, who has finally been released from Cleveland Clinic after a long stay there. We ask continued prayers for Linda Bonnell, who is upgoing further tests and further treatments this Christmas season. Prayers of joy for Linda Bennington, who had a successful cataract surgery this past week and is continuing to recover. Prayers for Stacy Castor, who came down with a serious case of the flu today. But John did a great job filling in, turning their duet into a solo today. So thank you, John, for stepping up, and we continue to pray for Stacy and for her recovery. A prayer of joy coming up a week from today, our own Erica Hansen Stafford. We'll be marrying Charles Dalton IV. They'll be getting married here on New Year's Eve. We continue to pray for that couple, for all those supporting that special day, for the friends and family as well. And I also wanted to make special note of Officer Paul Rossi, who's returned from us from a three-month stay in Washington, D.C. He went to a special training in the FBI, a very prestigious honor. So thank you for your willingness to leave New Philadelphia and your family for 3 months and your willingness to get further educated and serve your community. It is much appreciated. And let us also remember this Christmas season those who are traveling to and from family. We pray for safe travels. We remember those families who are missing somebody this Christmas season, who's been welcomed into life eternal. And we pray that their spirit and their presence may still be felt this Christmas day. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Dear Jesus, we come to you with a full sanctuary and a full heart, knowing that we seek a relationship with you and you alone. We are so grateful for your presence in our lives, especially this Christmas Eve, because there is no more waiting. The King of Kings has arrived. He has arrived humbly and lowly in the form of a servant, willing to serve us. Help us to follow the greatest servant leader in the world, our King of Kings. Gracious God, we pray for this world this Christmas season, that each one of us be litten with the light inside of us, your flame of joy, your flame of compassion, your flame of love. May it touch all of our hearts, because we realize the church is at its best when it is dedicated to living out the life that you taught us to live, to love one another as we love ourselves. We pray for those who this Christmas season may be difficult, for those who are sick, for those who are hurting, for those who are grieving. Help each and every one of them know that you, God, are a God that will abide in anyone, in even the toughest time, and that your presence in the midst of suffering is amazing and wonderful. And gracious God, we confess our sins. We confess by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved our neighbor with our whole hearts. We have not loved you as we should. But every single day, you remind us that you are not a God of judgment, but a God of grace and a God of mercy. So this Christmas season, help us to be your children who live with grace, who live with mercy, who live with love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes tonight from the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Our gospel today comes from the second chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 20, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, we prepare our hearts for a Moravian love feast. The important thing about a love feast, it is not a sacrament of the church, but is an opportunity in fellowship to share the love that God has given us. Because remember, first and foremost, that out of the love God gave us, one of the greatest gifts he gave us was the gift of community. And as we look at the divisiveness in our world now, we think now more than ever it is a time to remember that no matter where we come from in this world, we are all children of God. We are all loved. And we all have the opportunity tonight to share this love feast together. So as our deaners finish serving up, before we share our grace with you, I figured I would give you a little background on what a Moravian Love Feast is all about. What you should know most, first and foremost, is that a Moravian Love Feast wasn't born on a day when the church was at its happiest moment. The church was actually going through a lot of strife in Germany under Zinzendorf, because the Moravian church started out as this refuge where people from all denominations and all churches came together. And the first few months, it was a wonderful opportunity. Everybody celebrated one another. Everybody enjoyed one another. And then the bickering started. Everyone started talking about how their group was the best, how their way of doing it was better than the other people. And slowly but surely, this tight-built community started to crumble. And Zinzendorf was a very humble leader, and his heart was broken that this community was struggling. So what he did is he went door to door to every family in this community. Imagine that. The greatest leader in your community, your mayor, your senator, anybody like that, who saw discord and went door to door. And they wrote up this Moravian Accord, and it brought this Moravian community back together. And they had this wonderful worship service, a beautiful worship service, where even the pastor, Pastor Roth, who was in charge of the congregation, actually decided not to preside over communion because of how he felt he let his people down as a leader, and his humility opened the door for even more grace. And the feeling of togetherness and community that was felt by that Moravian church made them feel so together, so united, so fixed after they had been broken, that they decided that day that they were going to stick around and stay together for a meal. So for a love feast, as we honor that tradition, it's not just about eating food in church, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong that we get that opportunity, but it's about that connection, that community. So I realize a few of you still got cups to get yet, but we're going to take a moment. We're going to say our grace, and before we do that, we do not have special music for this love feast, because the reason is we want the opportunity for you to talk about community, to talk to one another, because we're honored to have so many guests tonight. So it's an opportunity for people, our members who've always sat in the same pew for the last 20 years, to talk to somebody different who's sitting behind them in the pew next to them. So as you enjoy this love feast, take some opportunity to share some of your favorite Christmas memories, some family traditions, and just to say hi to a neighbor. So let us pray together this grace. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Amen. I forgot how quick that hymn is. Thank you. I want to thank you all for taking the opportunity to share with one another. We'll give you a chance to get back to your seat. But it really is great to see so much laughter, so much joy, so much storytelling in the midst of our congregation. So if you could take a second to get back to your seat and get seated, we'll get your cups collected, and we'll resume our worship service. Thank you very much. Christmas is a season of giving, and now we think of the opportunity to give to God. And this Christmas season, our church wanted to take the opportunity to give back, so half of our offering this Christmas Eve will go to the Tuscarawas County Girls Group Home, a really important organization in our county that helps young girls who have difficulties at home and gives them a safe place to be at. So we'll be using half of our offering to provide gift cards for needed supplies for these girls. Wonderful girls who've dealt with some difficult situations in their lives and have still found ways to hope. So let us give now of our tithes, our offerings, and gifts.
Thank you.
Pray together the prayer of dedication. Prince of Peace, tonight we turn our hearts to your dear manger, and we remember that you were born with few material possessions. Help us to share our abundant blessings as a community with those in great need. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chapel. Come on up. Come right up. So good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Who's super stoked for Christmas? Me too. So what, I'm going to ask you a question. We'll start with this. You have to tell me what's your favorite thing about Christmas other than presents. Rylan? Spending time with family. Nick? Jesus' birth, that's a good one. Brandon? That's a good one. Aubrey? Same as him, that's good. Rylan, what else? All right, we're all dropping on Nick. This is good. I already got you trained to be pastors right here. Paige? Getting to see more friends and family. That's great. So, Daniel, what were you going to say? That's good. That's a good one. And we've all got that one down. Now, does anybody know what makes the candy cane significant on Christmas Eve? Daniel, what's significant about the candy cane? Jesus' blood. That's what the red stands for. Can anybody tell me what the white stands for? Paige? That's okay. Nick? Close. Rylan? His skin, that's close. The white means Jesus was pure, that he was without sin his entire life. And then there's three strands on the red. Does anybody know why? There's three. Can you see? There's three little strands on that little red right there. Guess what that stands for? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know what those three things are called? Paige? That's okay. Aubrey? It's called the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. That's why we celebrate that with the candy cane. And Paige?
I know something about it. It can be a shepherd's staff and a giant's staff.
And a J. What does the J stand for?
Jesus.
What does the J stand for?
Jesus.
Can you say that louder? What does the J stand for?
Jesus!
There we go. And we celebrate with that. And so what I want you to remember this Christmas season, I'm going to give you candy canes before you go. But this is the reason for the season, the J, the Jesus, because Jesus connects each and every one of us. And he came to this earth on Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago because he loved each and every one of us. And he came so that we would spread that love and share that love with each other. So guess what? We're going to do something cool to end our time together. Emily and I got to go see the Mr. Rogers movie this past week. And in that movie, I learned that the sign for a friend is, guess what, it's this. Can you guys do that? You start with your index, your pointer finger, and you put one on top of the other, and then you switch it. And I thought it would be really cool. I want each of you to grab two candy canes. And I'll give you instructions once you have two. And you can take those two with you. But there's a lot of different colors and types, but don't get too distracted by that. Does anybody need any? Colton needs some. There you go. There's two. Mr. Daniel, there's two. So I want you all to get in a circle. Oh, you only got one? Okay. There's yours. So let's get in a... Okay, that's fair. Everybody have two? All right, I want you to stand up. We're going to get in a circle. We're getting in a circle. It's got to be a perfect circle. And I want you to hook your candy cane to the person next to him. Just like this. Just like me and Jonathan. Ian? Because in God's house, we are all friends, and we all love and care for one another. So I want you, we're going to pray quickly so this stays, all right? Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of friendship. We thank you for coming into our world and into our earth, and help each one of us remember that we are connected with friends all over this place. And you came to this earth not just for one person, but for all persons. So help these kids be blessed and remember that there are friends next to them, connected just like these candy canes. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. All right, you can take those candy canes with you. Go back to your seat and enjoy them. At this time, I invite Chloe Martin up, who's going to share some special music with us.
Oh,
special music tonight. I want to make one brief announcement about that. Great job by Chloe, John, Charlotte, and Kira. And Charlotte, Kira, and Chloe are actually going to be participating the first Thursday in February in our Concert That Cares. It'll be right here at this church, and they'll be raising money for stuffed animals for kids at Union Hospital. So if you thought they did a great job performing tonight, please come out and support them. We're calling it right in time for Valentine's Day. I'm optimistic. I'm going to call it a Packer Super Bowl celebration party after that. So we'll see. We're not going to be too cocky after last night. We'll pray for some people here. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us, and help us to listen to the story of the Christ child as if it is the first time, that light within us will be so strong and so resilient. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. So to start our message today, I want you to picture a family sitting right next to their Christmas tree on Christmas Day. And they are sitting there waiting for a present. Or they're not waiting. They're waiting to open a present that has been delivered to them by God himself. This present came directly from God. And it has the most beautiful bow on it. And they know that just by looking at this gift, it has the power to change their lives. The only hitch about this gift is they have to wait for permission from God to open it. And on that first Christmas, permission never comes. And it never comes the next Christmas. Decades come and go. The generation that received the gift passes the gift on to the next generation, who passes it on to the next generation. And this goes on for hundreds and hundreds of years. As this family finally waits to open this beautiful, precious gift from God. And you know something? There were years that family really could have used this gift. Years they did not have enough to eat, enough clothes to keep them warm, but still they obeyed God. Their wealthy and strong neighbors teased them about their unopened present. In fact, many times they nearly had the family convinced that the box was empty or that God never sent it. They were just looking at a box. It was a box full of empty promises. Then the day finally arrived over a thousand years later, after that package had been delivered, after this family had been sent to this little town called Bethlehem, and God whispered to that family, "Open it. Open this precious gift that has been given to you." Now that package, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that family is the children of Abraham. That's our family going back in lineage. They all waited so long to open that precious gift for today to arrive. Imagine what it must have been like to be a part of the generation that saw God's promise delivered. Because Emmanuel means God is with us. And the power of that statement is in the verb tense. For so long it was, God will be with us. Now it is, God is with us. The waiting game was over. And that little adjustment changed the entire culture of Jewish people. Because Abraham's people waited over 1,700 years for Jesus. Isaiah's waited over 700 years. And even in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, they waited over 300 years. Now that waiting was all over. God had arrived. And Scripture shows us these patient people were very impatient, waiting for their Messiah to get to work. And we know this by how little attention the Gospels pay to Jesus growing up and becoming a man, becoming the Savior. Mark and John, in their Gospels, they completely omit the first 30 years of Jesus' life, as he just poof, fell out of the sky as a 31-year-old man. Now, as someone who will be turning 30 this year, I appreciate that Matthew and Luke at least give us a glimpse of the foundational years of Jesus. It's nice to know the first 30 years of my life aren't just a practice run. It matters. Those 30 years matter to each and every one of us. And in Luke's gospel, we get a gentle reminder that the mighty Son of God, the mighty Son of God, started out just like the rest of us, as the most vulnerable creature in the world, a baby in his mother's arms, a baby in his mother's arms. That's how Jesus came to our world. And that vulnerability is what we most have in common with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look at our world today, we often hear people saying, our world has never been more divided and political than it is today. I think I hear that from somebody at least once a week. Our world is never more divided than it is now. And it's easy to empathize with that sentiment with a nasty presidential impeachment in the background. But sometimes it's good to take a step back and get some historical perspective when we get fixated on this woe is me mentality in our own generation. Because we have to look at Jesus' story. Jesus' story starts with politics. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own town to be registered. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and not Nazareth because of Roman politics. He had no choice over his birthplace. There was no waiver for the census either, even for a very pregnant teenage mother and her husband. All the oppressed Jewish people, all of them, had to kiss the ring of Roman authority. And Jesus was born in a far more toxic political world than any of us will ever know. And it's important that we remember that. Because it is the 11th commandment of the church that where two or three are gathered, politics will take place somehow, some way. But God gave us universal truth, love, and community. And now there are many days where it feels like the devil gave us politicians to combat that, doesn't it? When we turn on our news and we see what's going on in our life, in our world. But not only did politics dictate when Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, but it also dictated when he had to leave. Herod's jealous rage forced Jesus and his family to flee to Egypt. Matthew 2:12-14 said, "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt." Now we don't get to hear any, if at all, spoken words from Joseph in the New Testament. But this passage should give you some insight to why he was chosen as the father of Jesus. Because Joseph, when you look at Scripture, he was a man of action and poise. And it's pretty remarkable when you look at this young ragtag family and the difficult circumstances that befell them. And when you look at this family, it's so remarkable because they're one of the few biblical families where there is very little complaining and grumbling about what's happening in their life. And they have every reason to. They did not get to choose the situation they were put into. But Jesus and his family are dedicated to hope in all circumstances. Not just hope in some circumstances, but hope in all circumstances. And it's important that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, never underestimate the power of hope and optimism in even the most difficult circumstances. And I heard a funny story this past week about twins on Christmas Day to illustrate this point. Two twin boys were born to the same father and mother. And they were identical twins. Physically, you could not tell one from the other. But in their mannerisms, in their attitude, in their action, they could not be any more different. Because one of their sons was an eternal optimist. He could walk through a puddle and smile and laugh and talk about how awesome it was and how it made his day, how it got him focused. And there was another son who just... he could see a rain cloud on even the sunniest days. He was that type of person. He was a nitpicker. He was an eternal pessimist. He was always looking for the negative. What's going to go wrong? What's going to happen next? And so their father, on their 14th birthday, he tried a science experiment. And when they were teenagers, he decided to give his son, who was very negative, who had a trouble seeing the good in life, he decided to give him all the nice and expensive presents that he had budgeted for the two teenage boys. And all he left with his son, who was positive and full of hope, was a big pile of manure in his room. And he had a science experiment that day. And guess what happened? Dad walked into the son's room, who was very negative. And he looks at his son, expecting him to be happy with all these new toys. And what look does he see on his son's face but tears? And he asks, "Son, why are you crying? You have all these wonderful toys." And he goes, "Yeah, but now all my friends are going to be jealous of all the wonderful toys I have. And the batteries are going to run out soon. And pretty soon they're all going to be broken. And I'm not going to be able to enjoy them, even though all my friends are jealous of me." And so he knew he was right about his first hypothesis. Now, he was worried about his optimistic son, because even an optimistic person, I don't know about you, but if you got a pile of manure for Christmas, you might have some different feelings about what you were getting. But he walked into his optimistic son's room, and he saw him dancing for joy in his room with this pile of manure. And the father looks at him, and he goes, "Why are you so happy today that you see this big pile of manure in your room?" And he looks at him, and he goes, "Well, if there's manure right there, there's got to be a pony somewhere." See what I mean? There's a silver lining in everything, folks. And now that's a funny story, but I think there's some truth to that humor. And it reminds us that hope is such a powerful gift, because you saw, even in the worst circumstance, that son could find hope. And think about if we approach God with that attitude, maybe not to that degree, but if we kept our hope, not just our hope that things will be good, but our hope in God, our hope in humanity, and our hope that the best is yet to come. Hope is the oxygen that love needs in our world to breathe. That is the hope that we can rely on. And Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "Hope is being able to see the light despite all the darkness." Hope is being able to see the light despite all the darkness. And this Christmas, God is not asking you to ignore darkness in your life, but please pay attention to the light in your lives. For the light of God is far more powerful than the darkness and the hatred will ever be. And over 2,000 years ago, the children of Abraham could have dwelled on the Romans that oppressed them, Herod that tried to scare them, and a world that tried to ignore them. Yet their eyes and their heart belonged to a Savior that forever changed them. They weren't walking back to the same world. Emmanuel, listen to that word, Emmanuel. Not God was with us, not God will be with us, but God is with us today. And that is the hope we can cling to, not just for 1,000 years, but for all of eternity. God is with us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts this Christmas Eve day. And we remember the humble beginnings that you started with. And you turn that into the salvation that you offer each and every one of us. So if we haven't had the opportunity to welcome that salvation in our hearts, let us do so now. Because we realize our conversion and our relationship with you is not something that happens in a day, but is a relationship we work on in our lifetime. And we are so grateful for your faith, hope, and love. And may it abide in us and abide in our neighbors in all times, in all places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for our candlelight service. Please rise. Share with you the benediction from Jeanne Seton. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Be born to us this night in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. May the light of your life be kindled in us and lead us to the shining truth of God with us, God for us, and God in us. Amen.
Thank you.